Pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, it is Pass the Salt with Coach Dave Dobenmeyer, but it's also with Roger and Matt and Larry and Jared and Rich and scores of hundreds that are out there watching us. Robert's joining us this morning. Well, God bless you, Robert, trying to get in here. Look at that guy. There's something you don't see every day. Good to see you, Robert. Robert joined us all the way in Montgomery, Alabama, all the way from Georgia. He's there. And Robert, good to see you in here this morning. I'm loaded for bear today. Loaded for bear. And I take pride maybe in stuff I shouldn't take pride in. We're just having a little discussion before we went on the air, Jared and the guys that were in here early, and talking about the direction of Pass the Salt and what it is we're trying to do and what I really want to accomplish out of this whole thing. And Jared made a comment about posting on Facebook and how people get mad, stuff they read they don't like. Hey, listen, go to my YouTube page, CoachDave.tv. Some of you are watching it right now. Open up some of those videos and just read what people say. You know what? It pumps me up. I'm so sick and tired of political correctness, and I pride myself. That's not a good word. I don't pride myself. I'm honored to be able to say what others don't have the courage to say. I'm honored to be able to do that. One of those things happened yesterday. I produced a video. Jared's going to play it here in a second. Some of you have probably seen it. Where I took on this whole race thing, this whole idea that you're not allowed to be proud to be white, not allowed to talk about that kind of stuff, not allowed to do that, you know, you're not allowed to do it. So as you're watching here this morning, guys, I want to ask you this question. This is something we ought to all be able to get settled in our heart. Who determines what you say? No. Who determines what you're allowed to say? Who makes the rules saying that you can't say this and you can't say that? Who is making the rules? Who's making your rules? I'm reading something. I think your microphone's coming through your computer, not your headphone. Let me see what I can do here. Let's go to the settings. Looks okay there. Microphone, headset, you've been in. Now it'll be sounding a little bit better. Is that better? Okay, I think it is. I'm sorry about that. Who's making the rules and telling you what you can and can't say? Who is it? That's the Trump effect, see? That's the Trump effect. That's why Trump's popular. Because you know this, people are sick and tired of political correctness. Now, as I was walking down the steps today to get set up to do the show, I asked myself, self? Political correctness. What the hell is political? What does that mean? I'm not a politician. I'm not running for office. Political correctness? You mean there's some things I can't say if I'm running for president? Why are you running for president? I'm not running for nothing. I'm just living my life. And I'm sick and tired of others dictating to me what I can say, especially if it's truthful. And I've taken a little bit more of a hard approach to my Facebook page. I'm sick and tired of people coming on my Facebook page and criticizing what I say. Well, get the H off, man. You have to come on here. You don't like it, go someplace. You don't like it, you can lump it. Go someplace else. Now, I let some of them hang around because I think it's good to let it be sprinkled with salt. They get a little bit of gospel. But when they get to the point where they start personally attacking me and calling me a closet homo and all that stuff that I hear, see, they can talk like that, but I can't, you know, I can't talk like that. Well, I can. Yes, I can.
And so yesterday I took on white, being white. I took it on. We're going to show you the video here I made out on the street. It was about 2 minutes. And man, oh man, the Christians I hear from. Guys, listen, this is pretty simple to me. This is history, okay? Now, you can be dumbed down if you want to. You can. You can let others dictate to you what you are and you aren't going to say if you want to. That's up to you. I'm not going to deny history. See, political correctness is denying history. We know that, right? You know, they're not. They're taking a lot of the old constitutional teachings out of our schools. Kids aren't learning what we learned in school. You go ask the average kid in 7th grade, 8th grade, pick whatever grade you want to. You go ask somebody, say, hey, why do they call your signature your John Hancock? Put your John Hancock here. Why? Kids don't have any idea why. You say, well, John Hancock, he signed his name on the Declaration of Independence because he said that he wanted the king to be able to read it without his spectacles on. I learned that in the second grade. You don't even teach that anymore. Instead, we have Black History Month, Gay and Lesbian History Month. Remember now, for those of you who've been following along with us, the cultural Marxists, their goal was to focus on the minority. That they would radically change America by focusing on the minority. 76% white in the United States, and we're not even allowed to talk about it. As soon as you bring up white, the church starts, oh, they start biting their nails. Oh, you can talk about Jews if you want to. Talk about Hispanics, you can talk about blacks, talk about Asians, talk about transgenders, talk about white, oh. How do we get, what happens? What has happened to us? And we can say whatever we want to. You can argue all you want to. You can give me all the black history that you want. You can give me all of that stuff. But we know that this nation was founded by white European Christians. Why do we deny that history? Not only deny that history, why do we allow them to shame us into silence about that?
Say, well, coach, the nation was built through black slavery. I'm not denying that.
And I'm not saying that everything was done in our past was Christian. But the reality is, this is a white European experiment. That's what this is. Have we made some mistakes? Hey, we had 600,000 people die in the Civil War over this issue. It was a great scourge in America. It was a great scourge. We had brothers shooting brothers, cousins shooting cousins. America paid a great price for racism. That was when was the Civil War? 1861 to 1865. What year is this? Huh? And we're still talking about that stuff? And Martin Luther King, Civil Rights Act in 1964, blacks were set free. Blacks got the equal rights, and we're still talking about it? See, the reason we're still talking about it is because of political correctness. I refuse to be part of it. Morning, Wayne. Morning, Sarah. I refuse to be part of it. So I'm going to tell you right now, here's what's going to happen. By the way, I hit right-wing watch yesterday. Did you guys see that? Jared, I don't know if can you find that, Jared? It's on my Facebook page. Maybe I want you, if you get a chance, Jared. The article from Right Wing Watch was there, and I posted it on Facebook because basically they quoted me. I did a radio interview on Monday, I think it was, and they quoted me pretty accurately. And I was talking about Obama and see, we don't want to go there, though. So therefore, the average guy is scared. We've talked about that. What are you afraid of? You're going to serve whatever you fear. And the average guy's afraid. What's he afraid of? What his Facebook friends might say. And while we sit back and we cower and we watch every other ethnic group or every other race voice their concerns and cry about this, the white guy sits back and lets all this stuff get... See, if you're thinking it's racial, if you think I'm a racist, I don't even know what the hell to tell you. I'm telling you history and truth. And at what point did history and truth become politically incorrect to speak the truth. But see, guys, that's where we are. We are a majority of America being run to the hills by every minority. They're making up minorities. They are creating minorities. Transgenders. They're creating them. And if we don't understand it's part of the plan to destroy Christianity, I don't know what to tell you. So I'm going to sit here and I'm going to continue to say it no matter how many Facebook dislikes I get, no matter how many frowns I get, no matter how much defriended I get. And I would pray that those of you who are part of the show, you get a little gravel in your gut as well. We have got to begin to stand up and speak the truth regarding these issues. 2-minute video. I want you. I made this yesterday standing out in front of the abortion clinic. Oh, my goodness. You'd have thought I passed gas at my kid's graduation. Go ahead and play that, Jared.
Dave?
Yeah.
While we're waiting on Jared.
Jared, it's not playing for some reason. Go ahead, Rod.
Well, I think one of the things is this, the white European male has not stood up. And the reason that it's taken place as far as it's gone this far is now we're in the war. You know what I'm saying? The shame was 10 years ago,
right?
20 years ago. Now we're in the war in the trenches. And it's much more difficult, but now more than ever, one-on-one, one-on-a-group, in big group, I believe we have to confront these things in
yes.
a manner that in a manner that honors God, but is we confront them and we look for opportunities with people to, in a manner that honors God, to confront them,
Amen.
Period.
Because, Roger, we confront it with truth. We cannot let a lie stand merely because they're going to call us names. We can't let it. We just can't let it stand. Can somebody explain to me why Jesse Jackson is not racist, but I am? Can somebody explain that to me? See, there's no way other than we've been programmed to think the way that we think.
We have been programmed. And now there are people starting to surface, i.e. yourself.
Hi, folks, Coach Dave.
Here we go.
Well, hang on. Stay right. That's a good thought, right? 95% of black Americans voted for Obama, but they're not racist. No, they're not racist. But if 95% of white guys were to vote for Trump, oh, it's racial. It's racial. See, they try to shame us. They're trying to shame us, but they're not trying to shame us. They're trying to destroy the impact of white, heterosexual Christian men. Please see it. Go ahead and play that video, Jared.
Hi, folks. Coach Dave here, Thursday morning outside the abortion clinic. Listen, I got something to share with you that's going to be controversial. Some will understand it. Some of you won't. And I ask you that if you do understand it, please share this with others that they will understand. Folks, the attack that's going on in America today is against the white heterosexual male. That's the battle. Because if Satan can get control of the family, if they can get the white heterosexual male removed from the scene, if they can get him deballed, if they can do that, there is nothing to hold back the forces of darkness in America. The white, Christian, heterosexual man. You say, Coach, that sure sounds racist. No, it's not racist. It's the truth. They set their sights earlier on the black community, the black family. We see what happened to the black family because of the war on poverty and having government become the parent. Now 70% of children born in the black community are born in a home where there's no daddy. Their sights are set on the white, heterosexual male. Now listen, that makes a lot of you nervous. When you even mention white, when you even mention that, they want to call us a racist. I'm not a racist. There's only two races, folks. Those racing for heaven and those racing for hell. And I can tell you this, I can promise you this, that the forces of darkness that are working to overthrow this nation and overthrow this world on behalf of the prince of the power of the air, the prince of darkness. Those who are working on his behalf know that in order to be able to claim control of the whole world, they're going to have to get rid of the white Christian American male. There's a great battle taking place there. Had somebody say to me the other day, have you ever noticed that all these refugees that are coming in from Syria, why don't they send them to Africa? Why are they sending them to America? Because America at one time was a white Christian heterosexual country, the greatest country the world has ever seen. Our only chance today, friends, is for us to wake up and understand the battle that lies before us. We have got to preserve Christianity, and we can only do that by awakening the heart of the white Christian heterosexual American male. Oh, this battle is real. Get involved. God bless you.
Okay, somebody help me out here. Somebody help me out with why that was inappropriate and where it was not truthful.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
If you read the Bible, you know, the children of Israel, all 12 tribes had their own flags, their own standards. God so many times wanted the genes of Christ to come from to be separate. And Satan hated that so bad that he'd done everything he could to pollute the bloodline.
Oh, boy.
And I see things different to where now today, in order to get back at God, he wants to pollute the servants of God, the children of God, to get back at God.
Amen. Robert, that's great insight. That's great insight. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming the days of man. And what it was, they were mixing the blood. I don't even want to get into that. But we better understand, guys. We better understand what's going on. Why are we ashamed of our white Christian heritage? Because you better understand, that's what they're trying to make us. That's what they want to do. They want nothing more than to shut up Roger. Shut up Larry. They want to do whatever they can to ridicule you into silence. If they could get Rich to shut his mouth, if they could get me to shut my mouth through ridicule, they win. This isn't a racial thing. This is a spiritual thing. It is the white people, come on, who have carried the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. The white Caucasian race, what I don't call it a race. Somebody straighten me out that I'm wrong here. We carried the gospel to the world. Right now, we're evangelizing. Why are there no Muslim refugees being sent to China? Why are there no Muslim refugees being sent to Japan? Why are they not sending? Why? Why are they sending it to Germany? Why are they trying to destroy Europe? What was Europe? What was it? It was the Christian Genesis across the world. And we got on a boat. We came across in a boat. And for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith, the Mayflower Compact said, we evangelized North America and then South America. We evangelized. Who did? Well, you answer the question. And the only barrier standing between the total elimination of Christianity as white guys.
Dave?
Yeah.
Let me try to help a little bit as we build on that. You know, this war, you know, when you think, and I'm not an expert on this, but when we think of the Crusades, what I know of the Crusades is the Muslims were marching across or beginning to march across Europe. And for years, the church appeased them, trying to kind of work with them. And so the Crusades did not, you just didn't wake up one day and say, let's go fight the Muslims. It was over time. OK, kept on appeasing. Muslims gained more ground. And then finally, I believe it was the Catholic Church who finally said, we are going to be wiped out if we don't fight this war now. And it was that position that stopped it. Now, we are going to be wiped out if men do not start standing up one-on-one, one in a group, and going and saying, enough, this is the truth. You're not wrong. You're not wrong. The Bible clearly teaches, and Larry, you help me here, the Bible clearly teaches everything flows through the mail. Everything flows through the mail.
Okay, so stay with me a second, Roger. And I made this point in that video. They've already destroyed the black community. I'm not saying there can't be good Christian black people. This isn't about that. This is a spiritual attack on the family. They have, through the war on poverty, they have now reached a point where 70% of babies born in the black family don't have a daddy. 70%. They've already destroyed the black community. Now, God bless all those blacks that are out there faithfully serving the Lord and trying to get righteousness back in their community. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the fact that 76% of us who are pushing back happen to be guys who have the skin color the same as me. And it is not a race issue. It's a spiritual issue. We carry within us the gospel, the DNA of the gospel of Jesus Christ that was handed down through our forefathers. Guys, you understand what I'm saying? This isn't racial. It isn't racial. The point I'm trying to make is our ancestors, we have evangelized the world. Jesus says, everybody come. Everybody come. Some of the comments I got yesterday, it just floored me. See, it's all this programming. It's all programming. We have gay month. We have Black History Month. We have the Black Caucus. We have the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. And if you were to say, I want to start a National Association for the Advancement of White People, oh, you haters. Look what they have done. And so we are the last vestige, guys. We are that great, I stand on the shoulders of the greatest generation, my dad's generation, who took on Hirohito Japan, took on Hitler, took on Stalin, took on the world. By the way, white guy against white guy. Don't miss that. White guy against white guy, maybe not the Japanese, but the war in Europe was white guy against white guy. Because why? It was for the advancement of the idea of liberty, Christian liberty. Now they're trying to tell us Hitler was a Christian, see? Because why? They want to shame us. They want to shame us. We have Memorial Day. Donald Trump at his rally the other day, they wouldn't even play the national anthem. It's divisive. Don't you see what's going on? Don't you see what's, guys, listen, that's why we have to boldly stand up and say something about it. We have to boldly take it on. We have to. And listen, they're going to call you racist. Those in your own churches are going to call you racist. They've been so programmed to keep their mouth shut. You know how I know they're programmed to keep their mouth shut? Because Planned Parenthood is selling body parts and they don't even speak up. And because now we find out that boys are going to go into girls' restrooms and they don't even speak up. They've been so programmed to not say anything. To just roll over, take the punches, don't fight back. Those poor minorities, those poor transgendered boys. What is wrong with us? What's wrong with us? I'm telling you what's wrong with us. It's this demonic cultural Marxism, humanism. Okay, I could go on and on and on. You get the point, fellas? You get the point that I'm making? And see, we're so programmed. I look down here. I just look down there. Are there any black faces down here? Like it even matters. I didn't tell you this. I got a call. Are you ready? Yesterday at home. I got a call from a black face. Yeah. Black face. Called this white racist. Said, I'm with you, coach. I'm sick and tired of what's going on here in Buffalo, New York. I'm going to Target with my sign. I already called the superintendent of my schools. I already called the principal of my schools. I'm going to go out on the streets, and I'm going to lift up the name of Jesus no matter what anybody else says. And if I go alone, I'm going to go alone. And you know what? His skin color wasn't the same as mine, because it's a racial, it's a spiritual issue, not a racial issue. Not a racial issue. But they've got us so convinced that it's about race. I told him, Doug, let's get something organized. I'm coming to Buffalo. So some of you guys are going to come with me. I'm going to go up there and stand with that brother. He's out there fighting alone. He told me, I don't care if nobody comes, coach. He said, I'm just calling you for a little bit of advice. Help me. Help. Show me how to do this and what I need, where I can go and what I can say. And where, I just need a little bit of coaching, but I'm gone. And he's already gone. That's what we have to do. See, our churches, are you ready for this? I'm sure he wouldn't care if I share this with you, because I'm not telling you his name. I'm not using any names. He told me this. He asked his pastor to come. Anybody want to tell me what his pastor said? He might be interested. The pastor might be interested, but he has to pray about it, because we want to make sure that everything we do is under the anointing of the Lord. So in other words, a dude's raping your daughter, you got to go pray about it. Lord, should I intervene here, or should I just let him have my daughter? We have lost our stinking minds. We have, guys. Our leadership. We're so programmed. Man, it's a half hour already. I'll shut up. I got someplace to go here, but I'll shut up a minute. If anybody wants to amen or oh my me.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Matt.
Just a quick comment. You know, you mentioned the word shaming, and I think that's been the case ever since the days of slavery, and that they have shamed the white person.
Yes.
You know what I'm waiting for, and I'll probably never see it. But I'm waiting for the first black leader to come along and say, you know what? We really appreciate all the thousands of white men that died. All the families, the white families that lost everything they had to free the black man from slavery. I have never heard a black leader ever come out and thank and praise the white man, the white family, the white wives, the white everything that sacrificed everything to free the black man. And I mean, it was the right thing to do, no doubt about it, but I've never heard a black person ever thank the white person that gave it all to free the black person.
You know, Larry, Matt, you're right, Matt. I know some, by the way. But see, black men who will say that won't get a platform. They won't be allowed to, they're not allowed to say it. Here's what I'm going to try to do. I'm going to try to get on our show Monday or Tuesday, my friend, Pastor James David Manning from Ottawa Ministries in Harlem. You guys know him? You guys know who Dr. Manning is? I'd love to get him on, and we could talk about this issue and have him enlighten us a little bit. I'll try to contact him today, see if I can make that happen. Because I tell you, Matt, there are many of them out there, but we're not hearing from them, see? It's all that groupthink. They want every black man to think Al Sharpton represents them, that Jesse Jackson represents them. And we're finding out more and more and more that's just not true. That's just not true. And so that's another one of those paradigms that we have to shift. That's another one of those idols that we have to tear down. There are a lot of good folks out there that are with us. A lot of our black brothers and sisters have moved beyond that. They really have. And we just have to help them get a platform to be able to say that. Good point. Anybody else? Okay, cool. Speak now or forever hold your peace. Now, I heard from somebody else yesterday. I get a lot of good feedback. But listen, if you're watching right now, listening, whatever, I love your feedback. And we haven't done this yet, but Jared's working on something. we found out yesterday that it takes a lot of data to listen. Like, guys go to work on the way to work, and they're listening on their phone. And the only way they can listen on their phone is They have to go to YouTube, and YouTube uses a lot of data, especially if you're doing it for an hour. We're working on a system where you're just going to be able to dial the phone, and you'll be able to hear it. It won't cost any data or anything. We're trying to expand that, so Jared's working on that right now. Roger, are you trying to say something, or you just got...
Yeah, no, I wanted to say something real quick. One of the things I'm learning from the program, and maybe other guys are too, is that as we stop doing, as we stop engaging, we think it's getting better. It'll go away.
That's right.
Shame, war, all that. And what I'm learning is it's not going to go away. See, now where I want to go, I'm not real good, so Dave, help me, or Larry, because I don't want to come across the wrong way. But if we stand back, see, the reason we have the movement of the far-right male in Europe right now, who is not Christ-based,
that's right,
who is not God-honoring, is because there's no filling of the Christian man coming in. So what ultimately will happen, and I think history points this out, is evil will move in the Christian, evil will move into the man, and the evil side of man will start surfacing in groups. But that is because the Christian man has not stood up and stopped that. So you have in the Europe right now the rising up of the far right soccer hooligans.
Yep.
But it's because the Christian church, the Christian man,
hasn't
stood up and beat that down.
Amen. That's exactly what it is. The scripture says this: because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will wax cold. So the Donald Trump movement is nothing more than, come on, I'm not afraid to say it, it's the pushback of middle-class white America's had enough. And unfortunately, or fortunately, whatever you want to, we've picked a leader who's not an open Christian. But he represents a big, big movement that the church should be out on the forefront of, see. And you think about this a second. Now, just think about it. Ted Cruz and Rubio. See, we're trying to promote a man into office that looks like a minority. That just makes us so much more tolerant if we can get a Hispanic American in there. He looks white, his mommy's white, but now we're so tolerant and diverse. If we could just do that, Barack Obama has a white mama. I'll say that again, it kind of rhymed. Barack Obama has a white mama. Ted Cruz has a white mama. Come on here. Larry, did you want to say something? I thought you did.
Roger, you're exactly right. There are those two dynamics that work against each other. However, it is not the Christian perspective holding back the evil perspective, because see, the evil perspective is what is there from the beginning.
Amen.
It's the Christian perspective pushing out the evil perspective. It's not keeping it away or holding it back. It is to push it out, because the evil is there from the beginning.
Amen, Larry. That's good.
We are born with the sin nature.
Yes, sir. We are. It's very good. And so what we're seeing is a natural man. We see a totally non-Christian pushback. Had we been the salt and the light that we were supposed to be, we wouldn't be in this mess. Had we stood up and fought against it 40 years ago, we wouldn't be in this mess. We wouldn't. But you think the history that they're teaching in our schools right now, what are they teaching about our founders? That they were just old white bigots, came in there and killed all those poor Indians off, and white man's always been that way, and so they make us feel guilty. My mom was one of 9 kids, and my dad was one of 7 kids when there weren't very many jobs. My dad's dad would leave home for 3 weeks at a time to go work and come back home where there was probably make another kid when he came home. My dad was basically raised by his mom in a very, very poor house. It wasn't always easy for white Americans. No, it wasn't. There's still a lot of white poverty today. Still a lot of it. And the poverty is what we're seeing in the world is spiritual poverty. See, spiritual poverty is leading to natural poverty. Remember this. It always shows up in the spirit realm before it shows up in the natural realm. We have a great spiritual poverty. We are starving spiritually in America. And we're seeing it being manifest in our natural culture. I don't want to get bogged down on that. I want to go to anything else? Anybody else?
Hey, Coach, I got one thing.
Okay, Rich.
When I look at my Facebook page and the guys I know that attend church weekly, they are Trump, 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 Trump. I mean, that's all they post on there. And when I look at that, they think they know there's a problem, and they want Trump to fight their battle for them.
Yes.
They because they don't want to fight it for themselves.
Or don't know how to. Or don't know how. Yeah. How about Trump yesterday calling Elizabeth Warren Pocahontas? Man, see, I don't know about you. That makes my heart beat fast. Anybody with me on that? Said, well, that wasn't very nice. That wasn't very politically correct. Well, she's the one who claimed to be an Indian, made up Indian, and all he did called her Pocahontas. I thought it was great. Whatever happened to guy being able to say what he thought? I understand decency. I understand manners. I understand it. But see, decency and manners has reached a point where you can't say anything that might offend somebody else unless it's a white guy. Then you can offend him. That's all right. You can offend them. And make no mistake, guys. Now, do I have to say that, Lord? Okay, I will. White America took the gospel to the world. Can anybody deny that? Was it the Jews? Did the Jews take the gospel to the world? No. No. Now, here comes another right-wing watcher one. It's going to end up. America is an amazing place, and we are where we are today because of the way things have transpired. And I was not a slave owner. My family was not slave owners. As far as I know, my dad, my great-great-granddad came from Germany here just before the Civil War. He didn't have any slaves, I don't think. He's a poor man. He didn't have any slaves. No slavery in my life. But the children of slaves today, hear me. The children of slaves, go back 100 years. Children of slaves in America today live greater than most black people anywhere else in the world. Through the struggles of their forefathers, they've made it through in the land of the free, in the home of the brave. Has it been a perfect ride for them? Of course not. But you ask the average guy on the street, would he want to go live in the Congo? Is that where you want to go live? Of course not. It's the greatest nation for individual liberty because why? Christianity respects the individual. I was going to read the scripture because I know Roger always likes to read the scripture. I'm in Romans 2 real quick, and I want to shoot down here real quick because. I think it's important. Romans 2, you guys there? Jared, I don't think I told you there if I caught you off guard. where did I want to start? Let's start right here. Chapter 2, verse 5. Romans. But after thy hardness and impotent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Verse 6, who will render to every man according to his deeds. It's an individual thing, guys. It's not a racial thing. All the blacks aren't going to be together in heaven and all the whites aren't. No, it ain't going to be that way. Two races, I said it in the video, two races, those racing for heaven and those racing for hell. 7, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing, seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey. See, there's those who obey and those who don't obey. There's your two class, there's your two races. But under them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. So he's saying, listen, it's an individual thing. And you're going to pay for the individual. You can't get into heaven grouped. You ain't going to make it because you're white. You're not going to make it because your daddy was a preacher. 10. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. 11. For there is no respect of persons with God. God doesn't see race. Why do we? God doesn't see it. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, that's the lost people, as opposed to the Jews, who thought they had a special pass to heaven because they were Jew. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts. Wow. Their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the mean while accusing or else excusing one another. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to the gospel, behold, thou art called a Jew, and you retest the law, and makest the boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and are confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hast the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? That thou that preachest a man should not steal, do you steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, do you have idols? Thou that makest the boast of the law, thou breakest the law, dishonorest the law of God. For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. And I could go on and on and on and on. God's no respecter of persons, guys. He don't see black Christians and Chinese Christians and Hispanic Christians and Presbyterian Christians and Lutheran Christians and non-denominational Christians. He don't see any of that. He doesn't see it. Listen now. And because he doesn't see race, the devil wants to make sure we do. It's a way we get off center. So don't look at the natural man. Natural man's perishing daily. God's no respecter of persons. All of us will stand before the Lord naked and give an account for what our deeds done, every one of us. Black, white, red, yellow, black, and white, they're precious in his sight. Hey, Jared, let me flip up there. I want to backtrack a little bit. I can't believe it's quarter of. I'm going to get Pastor David Manning on here. I'm telling you, you're going to love it. What do you have up there, Jared? That's a good one. That's not the one I want, Jared. Let's go to the one that says secular humanism is a religion. Because I got some feedback on that. People say, oh, yeah, there you go. You're making things up saying secular humanism is. Remember we talked about that the other day? I said the religion of our government is secular humanism, and we went down and I broke down the planks of humanism. You all remember that. And I said, well, it's a religion. Go ahead and pop that up there, Jared, if you can, on the screen. Or do we have to click on it? Well, here it is, fellas. Here it is for you to see. John Dewey described humanism as our common faith. Julian Huxley called it religion without revelation. The first humanist manifesto spoke openly of humanism as a religion. Yada, yada, yada. Let's go down here to the blue part. The U.S. Supreme Court, do you guys see where that is? Well, let's go right above it. In 1961, the U.S. Supreme Court acknowledged that secular humanism was a religion. See that? Nevertheless, many humanists deny the significance of that court's decision. They just ignore it, see? In order to buttress their claim that the identification of secular humanism as a religion in a footnote in the Tarasco case is more than a dicta, but is just, anyway, the U.S., here we go. Supreme Court cited secular humanism as a religion in 1961 in Torcaso versus Watkins. Roy Torcaso, the appellant, a practicing humanist in Maryland, had refused to declare his belief in Almighty God and was required. It was then required by law. Isn't that amazing? That back in 1961, you had to acknowledge yourself to be a Christian to hold public office. 1961. How far we've fallen. He had to do that in order for him to be commissioned as a notary public. The court held that the requirement for such an oath invades the appellant's freedom of belief in religion. And the court declared in Torcaso that no establishment calls of the First Amendment reached far more than churches, a theistic faith, that it is not the business of government or its agents to probe beliefs, that therefore its inquiry is concluded by the fact of the profession of faith. So the court says, right down here, footnote 11, concerning religions found on different beliefs, court said this, among religions in this country, which do not teach what would generally be considered a belief in the existence of God, are Buddhism, Taoism, ethical culture, secular humanism, and others. The Supreme Court of the United States declared secular humanism a religion. Okay, boys? Just for all those out there who think Coach is making stuff up and just talking off the top of my head, there it is. Now, see, what they want to do, they want to pick and choose what Supreme Court decisions they want to follow. Right now, the religious humanists, they get all the advantages of any Christian church, tax advantages and all that. They get it all. Here's the difference. It's the religion of your school, which they tell you is not allowed to have any religion in it. It is the religion being taught. And it's being taught because why? We've permitted it to be taught. We've bought the lie. Remember, Satan is the father of lies. He lies and lies and lies. And the question is going to become, are we going to believe the truth or are we going to believe the lies? And unfortunately, up to this point, we've been believing the lies. Any comment on that? That'll shut them up. Right there it is for you. No? Okay. Yes, Larry?
Yeah, just a couple of things that you touched on just a teeny bit earlier that I believe we need to look at a little bit closer. This idea of collectivism as for your relationship to God the Father through Jesus Christ. You know, a lot of people think that just because their names are on the membership rolls of a organized, quote, church, that's their ticket on the Amtrak train to heaven.
Amen. Wide as a way.
You know, you so aptly pointed out in the scriptures there that it's an individual thing. Each, E-A-C-H, each is going to be dealt with on their own deeds.
Right.
You know, that's kind of like, imagine, some of the people watching or listening may have never fired a rifle in their life, but they have the ability to take $25 out of their pocket and join the NRA. Now, if they join the NRA, does that make them an expert marksman, eligible and qualified to shoot on the Olympic marksman's team?
No.
I don't think so. So that's one thing. And the other thing is, in the state of South Carolina, it is still in the South Carolina Constitution that in order to hold public office, you must believe in God.
Isn't that something? Isn't that something? You know what they did? I could take you through the history. I don't have time to do it right now. Every one of the 13 original colonies, they demanded that you be a Christian in order to hold public office. They demanded it. And then not only that, then when they began to soften it, then they said, okay, well, let's change it to where you have to admit that you believe in an afterlife, that you believe that there will be a system of rewards and punishments after death, that you'll give an account to a higher. You have to state that you believe that in order to hold public office. See, humanism has no such thing, right? Humanists don't believe there is an afterlife. So therefore, Bill Clinton can get away with whatever he wants to because he's not going to face anybody at the end of it. Go for all you can get. Hillary, she can do whatever she wants to. She can do whatever she wants to. Because why? He ain't going to give an account for it. Oh, then they really got mad at me because I said Obama wasn't a Christian. I said, well, he may be claimed to be a Christian, but his fruit certainly isn't Christian. And this, you know what the sad part is? Christians can't even recognize it because they don't even know what Christianity is. They don't even know what it is. We can't even recognize it. And so we can believe that some guy who promotes homosexuality, who believes in transgender bathrooms, who believes in killing unborn babies, believes in pick another one. He's a Christian. Because everybody's a Christian.
Coach,
yep.
What is sadder than Christians not knowing what Christians are is pastors not telling Christians what Christians are.
That's why, Larry, that's why I'm glad you're part of this program every morning. That is, right? The reason they're able – see, I'm not going to say that. The reason they get away with it is because Christians aren't Christians. So they can't recognize it. They can't recognize it. They can't recognize it. We are Christian humanists. Do you understand that? The religion of our Christian churches has become about you, healthy, then, wealthy, and wise.
Then when we want to judge a situation – we are condemned, and then we are told that we are judging, which is, as Mary has shared so often, is exactly what we need to do.
It's exactly what we need to do. Exactly. And we're told not to do that, see. I'm preaching to the choir on this one. Hey, Jared, were you able to find that thing on Right Wing Watch? I didn't send that to you. Can you shoot that up on the screen here a minute? I want you guys to see this yesterday. They're watching us. Every day. Isn't that awesome? They're watching us every day. This is so exciting to me. We're making an impact. We're making a difference. And here's what Right Wing Watch said about us. Well, I did a radio program. Now, here's a question I want to ask. Why should this be considered news? Shouldn't every Christian pastor be saying something like this? Dave Dobenmeyer, white heterosexual Christians are the only hope for America. Amen! Yes! Stop that. My daughter called me. She doesn't even know I'm on the air. I'll make her feel bad. Maggie, I'm on the air. I'm on the air. Hi, Macy. Grampy's on the air. There's my little granddaughter. I'll call you back. Ohio religious activist coach Dave Dobenmeyer posted a video message this morning declaring that Satan is out to destroy white heterosexual Christian males because they represent the only hope for saving America. Can somebody say amen? Sounds pretty good so far, doesn't it? Sounds pretty good so far. That is what I said. The attack that's going on in America today is against the white heterosexual male, he said. That's the battle. If Satan can get control of the family, if they can get the white heterosexual male removed from the scene, if they can get him deballed, if they can do that, there's nothing to hold back the forces of darkness in America. Somebody say amen? Sounds pretty good so far, right? Why would we be ashamed of this? It's not racist. It's the truth, Coach said. Dobenmeyer then argued that the war on poverty caused fatherless African-American households because the government became the parent. Now, he said, the government's sights are set on the white heterosexual male. Somebody, y'all still with me? Anybody want to leave the show yet? Our enemies, you understand, our enemy is preaching for us. The leftists are reading this. Thank you, Lord. Dobenmeyer then argued that the war on poverty caused, I said that, I'm sorry. He declared, Dobenmeyer then argued that the war on poverty caused fatherless African-American households because the government became the parent. Now he said they're after the white heterosexual male. He declared that there are forces of darkness that are working to overthrow this nation and overthrow this world on behalf of the prince of the power of the air, prince of darkness. To control the world, Dobenmeyer argued, these source forces will have to defeat the white, heterosexual, Christian, American male. Anybody disagree yet? It's all pretty good so far, I think. Dobmeier then asked why Syrian refugees are not being sent to Africa instead of the U.S. and determined that it's because America at one time was a white, heterosexual Christian country, the greatest country in the world that the world has ever seen. He concluded by reassuring viewers that the battle is real. Well, boys, what do you think?
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
I got a call this week from a black pastor from North Carolina that we both know. I think we met him in Memphis, Tennessee.
Yes, sir.
And out of the blue, he hadn't talked to me for ages. And we're going to schedule him he's going to call into the show, last call show, tomorrow.
Oh.
I didn't have any idea what I was going to talk to him about. This is Tuesday.
Wow.
I like the guy. I figured he's a pastor. He can tell the other pastors what to do. I had no idea what was going to be coupled together with that. So
unbelievable, isn't it?
Yep. Tomorrow morning, 10 to 12, WTVO Radio, or go to the Minutemen website. It should be interesting.
Hey, guys, listen. I'm telling you, this is the heart of it. This is the heart of it, brother. This is the heart of it. Tell me this. Somebody tell me this. How can Black Lives Matter come in and destroy an entire city, Ferguson, Missouri, and have those riots that they had in Baltimore, Maryland, and then a white Christian man gets shot dead out in Oregon and nobody cares? You with me, Larry? Yeah, I know you're with me. See? They picked off old Lavoie Finicum, didn't they? They picked him off, shot him dead, right for the whole world to see. But we're not supposed to notice that, see? Because we're good Christians, and this is just a rare case, and it's happening to those poor black children all day, every day in the cities. And we buy this bilge, and we don't speak up against it, and we don't push back with truth because, why? We're intimidated. And here's what I'm telling you. Your children and my children, my grandchildren in particular, they're going to live in this mess that we're leaving them. We've got to push back. Not from a racist standpoint, but from a Christ standpoint. And understand that it was who we are in Christ. We're not what they've told us we are. 2 minutes. Anybody? JR, don't miss his show tomorrow. That'll be good. I may try to get him. I'll either get him or Pastor Manning. I hope to get Pastor Manning next week. I'll see what I can do there. Anybody? Got a couple minutes left here? Hey, JR, I appreciate you saying that. I felt I was all over the park today, but I know this is critically important. I know that it is. I know that it is. That the white churches have, first of all, the white churches have fled the inner cities. They're now out in the suburbs, out there where they. I told them that at the clinic yesterday. Oh, I bet their ears are burning today. Because there's two clinic workers that are standing outside the clinic. They're white as can be. They're whiter than me, driving real fancy cars. I said, how many of these black families are living in your community? We know the answer to that one, don't we? We're not ignorant of his devices. I'll give you a couple minutes. Anybody? I've rambled a lot today. I don't apologize, but I have.
Coach, when you do go to the clinics or you show up for Tea Party events, is that a lot of white guys?
Yeah, it is.
Why is that?
Because they forced that separation, see. It's a Tea Party is a place where it's safe for a white guy to get together and complain about what's being done to him. And black guys, from their cultural standpoint, they're not allowed to go stand with Whitey because Whitey's racist, and so we buy that lie. And I would love to go be in a NCNA, what do they call NC? No, National NAACP. Maybe I ought to go join them, go to all their meetings all the time. That's what I'll start doing. Tear these barriers down. We got to tear them down. I'm proud to be white. I don't think I'm better than anybody else, but I'm not ashamed of it either. I'm not ashamed of my father and the heritage and our Christian heritage. I'm not ashamed of it. We, white, evangelical, Christian males, built this nation, guys. We evangelized the world. We've got to be proud of it, not ashamed of it. And it's not a pride thing. Anybody? All right, Monday morning, we're going to be back here, same bat time, same bat channel. By the way, I still didn't get where I wanted to go today, but it's okay because we're laying a ground. We're laying a groundwork. I'm trying to lay a foundation upon which we are all going to be able to stand, and that foundation is truth. And so when you tune in here and you join us in the mornings, there are no issues that are off limits. We're going to speak the truth to every one of them. No matter what, we're going to speak the truth.
Hey, Jared. Jared, can you hear me? Dave?
Yeah, I can hear you. I can hear you. Jared. Roger's trying to speak to you.
Yes, sir.
Well, I liked your opening comments about where things go, and I think we started this in January.
You want me to end the show?
Oh.
Yeah, okay. Hang on a second, Roger. Hey, folks. Now we're going to do a little chit-chat offline that you can be part of if you get into the queue. God bless you. Have a great weekend. Is this Memorial Day weekend? Oh, I ought to do a show on that. Huh? Boy, I ought to do a show on that. Sacrifice of white Christians to keep this country free. Enjoy your weekend. We'll see you on Monday.